Paul has this way of dropping a theological truth, a deep theological truth, into a what appears to be kind of a by-the-way illustration type thing. And we see that in Philippians chapter 2 in what I call Paul's version of the Christmas story. He says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." And this is the main point. "But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." Then he has this illustration, just, "Oh, by the way, I'll illustrate that." And this is a profound Christological statement. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." This has been referred to as a Christ hymn here because there's so much profound thought in it, in this by the way illustration that he gives. Christ moves from King of Kings to servant of servants in one step of obedience. From King of Kings to servant of servants in one step of obedience. Except it says here that he existed in the form of God. When we think of form, we usually think of an outward shape. What does something look like? And we can think of it as he looked like God. But that's not what it means here, and that's what it says. We have form versus function in our vocabulary. It's a big deal in architecture. You look at the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. That's a building that's a huge form, but it's very limited into its function. Its function is really to remind us of who George Washington was and the impact that he had on the country, which is great. But other than that, there's very little function to it. I think you can go inside and climb up all the stairs, but that's not the main part of it. You know, it's there to remind us. I suppose you could use it as shelter for rain if you're on the right side of it. So we have elaborate buildings that have a very limited function, and sometimes we have ugly buildings that have huge function. You think of just a warehouse. You know, all that goes on in there, and the storing and shipping out and bringing in and all that. A lot of function in something as simple as a warehouse here. The Greek thought in this word, it's morphe is the word, of form. It combines the two. The form is the inner substance or the essence, the essential nature of something. Jesus was by very nature God. The other word he used here is equality. He did not regard equality as something to be grasped. Hebrews 1:3 says he is the exact representation of God's nature. Christ was pre-existent, and by very nature he was God. He was part of the Godhead, the triune. And he says he did not regard something, the equality of God, a thing to be grasped. It's not that it became less than God, but he didn't see it as something to hold on to or something might be to use for his own advantage, his godhood. So he was the King of Kings. I have to remember this because I didn't write it out. Somebody said, in fact, I think there's a song that quotes this, that there's only one, many kings, many are born, become kings, but there's only one who was a king that became born. And that's what Christ did. He was a king, and then he decided to empty himself of that. Word in verse 7, "but he emptied himself." That word "but" is very significant. It's a contrast of the king to the servant. And you would think of a king coming to earth, if he was really coming to earth, he would want to be all the trappings of his of the kingship of the throne and of the palace and all of that. But he made the decision to empty himself. Joel Hawthorne in his book says, the being equal with God does not mean filling oneself up, but on the contrary means emptying oneself out. It doesn't say what he emptied himself of, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. The word is kanao, and so we use it, we talk about the kenosis theory, and that's what is taught here, or kenosis heresy for some people. And he describes that here three ways. He says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. Goes on to say he humbled himself on the cross. The form here, the word form in verse 7 is the same in verse 6. He took the form of a bondservant. He didn't just look like a servant, he became a bondservant. He was made like this a man. He found an appearance of man. He emptied himself. That really has three different ways he emptied himself. And I'm thankful for Don Stewart who provided this very good summary. The first, he voluntarily accepted the limitations of a human being. The eternal God became human. He was limited by his humanity. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He felt pain. Last Sunday we sang Away in a Manger. One of the phrases in there says, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I say, really? Unless it's a sin to cry because he didn't sin, he cried. He pooped his pants. I hate to say that. I used in every way he was human. He experienced what it was like to be a human being, which is helpful for us who are human beings, because when he says, you know, he understands everything we went through, that's exactly what he did. So he voluntarily accepted the limitations of a human being. His glory was hidden from people. It was hidden so much that the religious leaders who were studying what the Messiah would look like, were expecting the Messiah, were concentrating all their thoughts on the coming of the Messiah, so much so that when he came, they didn't recognize him. He was hidden, his nature was hidden from people. It had to be, or he would have come to a whole different setting there, and he wouldn't be able to live a life as a normal human being, so that I wouldn't be able to say Jesus lived every experience that I did, because I would say, you know, he'd lived in a palace, he lived as a Messiah, everybody saw him, so his life would be very different from mine. But because he came as a human being, I say, and likeness of us, I can say he understands what I go through. We see glimpses of it. The transfiguration is a glimpse of when his glory was not hidden. You see, in a little way, the miracles and that type of thing, and in his teaching, where people thought there's something different about this person. But still, his glory was hidden from people. Then thirdly, he gave up the independent use of his relative attributes. He gave up the independent use of his relative attributes. He had attributes like all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. Those kind of attributes he set aside, and he could use them if he wanted to, but he gave up the independent use of that. So when the Holy Spirit said, you know, here it is, then it was there. He did not give up his moral attributes, his love, his holiness, the justice, the truth, the sinlessness. He never gave that up. But part of the emptying himself was the limited use of his relative attributes. He emptied himself, but it was an addition by subtraction. It's not that when he came, he became less than what he was. That's the kenosis heresy. is when he gave up his godhood and became man. No, he wasn't. He was fully man, fully God. He became more by becoming less. Bruce Ware gives us this illustration. He says, and you car lovers, you can cringe at this. He says, if you drive a Jaguar through a mud bog, and some of you just go, oh, you would never do that. It gets covered with mud. So if it doesn't become less, it takes on more. Thoroughly coated. The car's essential nature is the same, but it's been added to. The kinetic heresy is that Jesus Christ divested himself of deity to become man, but by his very nature, he is fully man and fully God. Well, when people looked at him, they didn't see God. They saw the mud covered over him. They saw humanity, and that's what they concentrated on. And they had trouble seeing the essence underneath it. So he emptied himself and became found an appearance of man. He humbled himself by becoming king. So he was a king of kings, became the servant of servants in one step of obedience. And the obedience is there in verse 8, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. King of kings becomes a servant of servants so he could die on the cross to bring us salvation. Too often we concentrate at Christmas time, and I love the Christmas music and that type of thing, but too often we concentrate on his coming and we forget what is the term that's out, the reason for the season. He came so that he could die on the cross, so he could bring salvation, provide salvation for us. Goes on to say, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All this is an illustration of the fact that we need to humbly step forward in the same way he did, in humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And to look out for the well-being of other people, the interests of other people, rather than my interests. And we need to be reminded of that all the time. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, what do you think that the issues are? And I said, the issues is we're all in it for our happiness, and what I can get out of life. That's the bottom line. In the culture, oftentimes in the church, it's always, and I can, when you talk to people, sometimes I can see that in their mind, they're calculating what's in it for me. What am I going to get out of this? Where do I come out ahead? How does this impact my happiness? And it becomes where that's all life is about, is my happiness. And Jesus said, it's about serving others, giving of ourselves for other people. Let's not forget that as we go through this season. Father, we thank you just for the gift of your Son, both of the example he set, the direction he's given us in terms of our own humility and our own looking out for the interests of other people. And then for the gift of your Son, so that we could have salvation, so that we're not trying to manufacture this goodness on our own, but that we're being clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and we can live out of that. So grace permeates our life and how we treat other people and how we live. Thank you for the blessing of that, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.